Point number one is never forget your mother. Why? Because we have such fond memories. For many of us, we can reflect back to a time.
And this is my son, Caleb. Very peaceful and content. Julie, on the other hand, it's got that expression, why am I left holding the baby?
But you know, the reality is, deep inside, we all of us carry with us memories of our mothers. And good or bad, but, you know, it's interesting, Julie got a card in the post yesterday, and it was postmarked Birmingham, so we thought it was actually from Sarah, so she didn't open it until this morning, and when she opened it, she saw in the front of the card, it said, "You're like a mother to me." And I thought, that's a strange card for Sarah to send. you're like a mother to me. Actually, this is the card here. It's actually from Shakira, who's Sarah's flatmate. And she writes in the card, "Though we're not related, I think of you just like a mum. You look out for me and you even feed me just like a mum as well. I really appreciate you and consider our friendship a real blessing," she goes on. But I thought to myself, wow, I really hope Sarah did remember Mother's Day. And then I was on Facebook this morning, and I noticed this video clip, and I just want to show it to you now, actually. It's actually a clip from Sarah to her mother. Julie hasn't seen this yet, because Julie doesn't have a Facebook account, and so I figured... So anyway, let me show you this clip now, okay? You can start playing it. And Sarah, so I'm sure Sarah won't mind seeing her face not being seen.
Happy Mother's Day, Mum. I'm really sorry I can't be there. I really wanted to come down and surprise you, which I would have done, except I have no money. But I thought this would be cool because it's something different. And I want to tell you how much I love you and how much you mean to me and how grateful I am that you're a mum. Yeah, like, all my friends talk about how lucky I am and how amazing you are, and I'm just so grateful that you're actually my mum. Like, I think you're a mum to a lot of people, and have been, but you're actually mine. Don't you forget it. But that's really cool, because, yeah, I have you, and I don't want to take it for granted. And I just think... the way you reach out to my friends, like the way you've been a mum to Faith and to Shakira, and like how much they look up to you and love you, that's just been so amazing. Like, I feel like you go above and beyond what you could do. And even just the way you like want to encourage me, you call me, you're like, how can I be the best mum to you, or what can I do, or you just go above and beyond and go out of your way to encourage me, to make me feel loved and special, and in fact, you even want a relationship with me. A lot of mums don't, or they just do the bare minimum with their kids, and I've never had anything different, so for me this is just normal. But as I get to like meet more and more people, and I'm realising that this is not normal, it makes me realise how grateful I am to you. Looking forward to seeing you soon, coming back down in like a couple of weeks, and for hanging out, but I hope you have a really great Mother's Day. I'm looking forward to spending some time with you. I love you so much, and that's what she says. Love you, bye.
Please don't tell her that I showed this to the whole church. It'll be just our little secret, okay? Sarah recorded this at just gone midnight last night, and so she's gonna. But the fact is, she put it on Facebook. The whole world can see it anyway. So there you go. So there you go. It. But in John chapter 19, and let's turn over. Let's look at the continue on from where Leslie left off. In John 19, and we'll pick up there in verse 25. It says, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. You know, as Leslie shared, Jesus on the cross was in agony. He was nailed to the tree. He had been flogged. He had been beaten. He had thorns crushed into his scalp. And you know, just the very nature of crucifixion was one that, in order for the condemned person to breathe, they'd have to pull their body weight up on the nails in their wrists and in their feet just to be able to lift their body up so they can get air into their lungs. Jesus on the cross didn't actually say very much. He only uttered about 7 phrases. But one of those was to his mother. One of those was, he, even as he is in agony and as he's dying, he sees his mother and he says, "Woman, behold your son." And he's not talking about himself, but rather he's talking about the disciple standing next to her, John. "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." Jesus was thinking about his mother even as he was in his last breaths of life. You know, the fact is, for some of us, we have difficult relationships with our mums. For some of us, we mourn the loss of our mothers. For others, perhaps we never even knew our real mothers. But the fact is, there's a connection in every one of us. The way that God has designed us, the way God has placed it in our heart, is so that there's going to be a bond that we feel. You know, it's interesting because with our son Caleb, we adopted him when he was 8 months old. And it's interesting because we did a lot of research and study about adoption and about children who have been adopted and the challenges that they will face as they grow up in life. And there's a book we read called The Primal Wound, which was written by a psychologist who did lots of studies on children who had been placed up for adoption. And it's interesting that there was similar behavioral traits they found in all the children who had been separated from their mothers at a young age, or been separated from mothers at all. Even amongst children who didn't know they were adopted, they found similar behavioral traits, which led this psychologist to just the theory that there's a bond that is between a mother and child, that when that bond is severed, that there's a wound that is left that results in certain types of behavior. And so even children who've been separated from their mothers at a very young age and placed in an adoptive family at a very young age, still they will exhibit these behavioral traits because of the way that we've been designed. And you know, many of us, we understand that our image of God is to a very large extent influenced by our image of our relationship with our earthly fathers. That it's influenced greatly by the kind of relationship we have with our dads. But also, there's a lot we can learn about our relationship with God from our relationship with our mothers as well. Just as there's a connection between the child and the mother, so there is a connection that we have with God, because that's the way God designed us. God made us to be in a relationship with Him. And just as if a child is separated from their mother at a young age, it creates this kind of wound, emotional, spiritual wound, that affects that child, so too, if we are not in a relationship with God, there's an emptiness we feel inside. Regardless of whether we actually believe in God or not, there's still that emptiness. And I think that, to me, is the primal wound. It's when we are not in relationship with God. You know, my mother died 15 years ago. And for me, even though it's been so many years, there's still oftentimes I'll be flooded with emotion about missing my mother. Just a few weeks ago, we were in a meeting, in a leadership meeting. We were talking about different things coming up. In fact, actually, we were talking about this service coming up. And someone just happened to mention a sister whose mother died recently. And you know, all of a sudden, I just felt this overwhelming flood of emotions. And I was feeling for this sister, but then I was thinking, the reason why I was feeling so strongly is just because of the loss of my own mother. And you know, it's interesting because even even many years after my mother's death, there were times when I would all of a sudden feel emotional and not be able to understand why, until days later I'd look back and realize that there was some particular association taking place. I remember one time I was just in the bedroom, just making the bed, and I was listening to a song by R.E.M., Everybody Hurts. And as I was listening to the song, I just started crying. And I couldn't understand why. And you know, and if you know me, you know I'm not the most emotional of individuals. It's funny I say that. But I found myself becoming more and more emotional over the years. And there I was crying, and I was thinking, why am I crying like this? And it was only a couple of days later I realized, actually, that day, when I was listening to that song, it just happened to be my mother's birthday on that day. And it hadn't registered consciously. But you know, there's that loss I felt. You know, the interesting thing is that we all have that. And even though, for many of us, we can stop and think back to some terrible times, perhaps, in our relationship with our mother, still there's that sense of connection. Still there's that sense of, you know, I want there to be a good relationship with my mum. You never forget your mother. And I think part of that is because God wants us to understand that we are made for connection. We are made for relationship. And our primary relationship needs to be with God. Jesus, even as he is dying, took the time to remember his mother. But not only do we never forget our mother, but our mothers never forget us. It's okay, you don't need to change it. That says your mother never forgets you. You are, there you go, that's just text language. I came across this picture just recently. This is that's my son Caleb. That's his best friend Joshua Thompson. They're going to love that picture when they get older. Let's look over in Isaiah 49. In Isaiah chapter 49. And Ovi referred to this last week. Have you noticed in our services we're trying to get more integrated and connected all throughout? But in Isaiah 49, verse 13, it says, "Shout for joy, O heavens! Rejoice, O earth! Burst into song, O mountains! For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, 'The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me.' Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." You know that when life gets challenging, sometimes we're tempted to think maybe God's forgotten us. And here's a period in Israel's history when they're in captivity and they're thinking God's forgotten us, God's forsaken us. And yet God says, can a mother forget the child that she has nursed? Even if she could, I could never forget you. He goes on to say, I've engraved you in the palms of my hands. But God's connection to us is so strong and so deep that he says that there's no way, even if a mother could forget a child, I just cannot forget you. That God is connected to us. And you know, the primal wound works both ways. You know, when I went off to boarding school at the age of 11, and up until that point, my mother was the main relationship in my life. Because growing up without a father, she was the one parental figure in my life, and there was a connection. But when I went off to boarding school, that connection, it was damaged, and then later, I felt like it was almost severed. There was this intense pain I felt, this pain of separation, this pain of homesickness, and it wasn't just me, it was many of the children who went off to boarding school at that time felt exactly the same thing. My very first night in the dormitory, 32 boys in this one room, all sleeping in the same place, and lights went out at 9:15, by 9:20, you could hear the little sobs of these 11-year-olds who were missing their mothers. And it's interesting because it started like you just hear one little kid sobbing. And then because one kid was crying, it became like an infection that swept through the whole dormitory. And you could hear other kids starting to sob. And I remember I didn't want to cry at boarding school because it wasn't the manly thing. But I remember burying my head in the pillow. And then eventually the whole dormitory was crying. But there's just this separation, this pain, and I felt that. But it's only years later my mother told me that when I went off to the boarding school, her heart would break every time I left. And I remember the times I would ring home and I'd run to the payphone just so I can get hold of my mother and talk to her. And every time I hung up, I would be really just upset. But my mother said every time she hung up the phone, she would be crying. Because there's that connection. You know, sometimes we go through challenges in life and we think, where is God? God's not here. God's left me. How come? And yet the Bible tells us, God says, I can never forget you. Even if a mother could forget her child, I can't forget you. You know, in Isaiah 59, we know the verse. The Bible talks about how our sins separate us from God. Our iniquities hide his face from us. And it causes a separation. And you know what that does? That breaks God's heart. You know, Jesus, when he was thinking about Jerusalem, and he was on his way to Jerusalem to die, and he just heard that Herod was trying to kill him, and he told the messenger, you tell that fox, Herod, I'm going to keep going, because no prophet's going to die outside of Jerusalem. But then his thoughts turn to Jerusalem, and he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you would not let me. You know what God's desire is? God's desire is for a relationship with every single person on the planet. That is God's desire. And sin is what causes us separation from God. You know, in Genesis 6, the Bible talks about how when God looked at the world and he saw the sin of mankind, that the Bible says that his heart was grieved. He was heartbroken because of sin. And we know the verse in John chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You know, God doesn't forget us. God loves us. He cares for us. And so he was willing to send Jesus to die so that we can have a relationship with him. Romans 5 tells us that God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why? Because God wants a connection. You know, there's a song written by Michael Mechanics called The Living Years. And he talks about how, you know, every generation blames the one before. And he's talking about how he came to an understanding about how his damaged relationship with his father, it wasn't all his father's fault. But the refrain in the song is, I just wish I could have told him in the living years. You know, so often we leave things unsaid until it's too late to say them. So often we leave things undone until it's too late. You know, God's desire for all of us is he wants us to have a relationship with him, and that only comes through the cross of Christ, through accepting what Jesus has done for us, through repentance and baptism, through having our sins washed away, through having that barrier removed so we can be in relationship with God. You know, today, if you're not in a right relationship with God, let me encourage you to take the time to examine and explore and figure out what it's going to take. Because today of all days, we should be reminded of relationships. We should be reminded not just of our love for our mother and our mother's love for us, but also of how that reflects God's love for us. Just as the Israelites, they thought God had deserted them, God hadn't deserted them. God was there with them. And he always was and always will be. And just as we go through challenges in life, there are times when we may feel like, where is God? But God is always there. You know, there's this story that the footprints in the sand. And you know the story where a man's looking back over his life and he realizes that there are times when it seems like God has deserted him. But later he finds out, no, in the times when there's only one set of footprints in the sand, that's the time when God carries him. You know, for all of us, as we go through the difficult and challenging times in our lives, remember, God is with you. We may go through difficult times of our own making because of our own sin. And yet, still God wants to carry you. Still God wants that relationship with you. Still God desires to be there for you. And the encouragement I have is don't leave it too late to get things resolved. Don't wait until there are regrets. But instead, make the decision to deal with things early. I was talking to Adrian Hill, just recently in fact. In fact, it was last year, Adrian was invited over to Norway by the church over there because there's a sister in the congregation, a woman by the name of Hager, Hager Christensen, who had been diagnosed with lung cancer. And it was, the church asked Adrian just to come over and just to pray for Hager. Hager was 42 years old. She'd been married for many years. She'd had three children, a son aged 12 and a twin boy and a girl aged 9 years old. And so Adrian went over to pray for her. And, he came back and he shared with me. He said, it was one of the most moving times. Because Hager had shared with him, she said, I'm really grateful for you to come over to pray for me. But I just want you to know that through this difficult time, my faith has only gotten stronger. In fact, before the cancer was diagnosed, she said, actually, to be honest, I was just on the fringes in the church. My faith wasn't particularly strong. But since realizing I've only been given a few months to live, she said, it's really brought into very sharp focus what's really important in life. And she said, my relationship with God is the most important priority for me. And not just my relationship with God, but also my relationship with my family. She said, she shared about her relationship with her husband Tom and their children. And she said, one thing I want to do, she said, and what she was doing when Adrian met her was she was writing letters. She was writing letters to each of her children individually. And she was writing a letter for each child for every year until they each reached 21 years old. And she said, my hope and my prayer is that if God doesn't heal me of this cancer, my hope and prayer is that through all of this, not only will my family stay faithful, but that I can leave letters behind that will help my children become Christians. 2 weeks ago, Hager died. We received a text message from the church that read, "We lost Hager to cancer today." This is just actually less than 2 weeks ago. So Tom and the children will meet with the church this evening. Please pray for them. When Adrian shared this text with me, I was thinking of her kids. I remember the day when my mother died, and I remember just feeling incredibly speechless, dumbstruck, it was all out of the blue, very, very sudden. And this morning, my brother, for Mother's Day, he posted a picture of my mother and himself, and he also posted a little poem that goes along with it. And it reads, "When tomorrow starts without me and I'm not there to see, if the sun should rise and find your eyes all filled with tears for me, I wish so much you wouldn't cry the way you did today while thinking of the many things we didn't get to say. I know how much you love me, as much as I love you, and each time that you think of me, I know you'll miss me too. But when tomorrow starts without me, please try to understand. An angel came and called my name and took me by the hand and said my place was ready in heaven far above, that I'd have to leave behind all those I dearly love. But as I turned to walk away, a tear fell from my eye. For all my life, I'd always thought I didn't want to die. I had so much to live for, so much yet to do. It seemed almost impossible that I was leaving you. I thought of all the yesterdays, the good ones and the bad. I thought of all the love we shared and all the fun we had. If I could relive yesterday, just even for a while, I'd say goodbye and kiss you, and maybe see you smile. And when I thought of worldly things I might miss come tomorrow, I thought of you, and when I did, my heart was filled with sorrow. But when I walked through heaven's gates, I felt so much at home. When God looked down and smiled at me from his great golden throne, he said, eternity is here, and all I've promised you. Today your life on earth is past, but here life starts anew. I promise no tomorrow, but today will always last, since each day is the same way. There's no longing for the past. You've been so faithful, so trusting and so true, though there were times you did some things you knew you shouldn't do, but you've been forgiven. And now at last you're free. So won't you come and take my hand and share my life with me? You know what's sad? Is if these words aren't true. If these words aren't true because we're not ready to meet our Heavenly Father. I want to encourage you today, if you're not a Christian, please understand how much God loves you. And don't leave it too late so that there are regrets when our time comes. I want to encourage us, God loves us. He loves us because He sent Jesus to die for us to prove it for us. And He loves us so much He gave mothers to us so we might have a pale reflection of the kind of love that God feels towards each and every one of us. Amen.